right, welcome back to it. Systemic racism, you hear that term all the time, right? You hear that term all the time. It's thrown around like a weapon. If you have something to say that doesn't agree with the narrative, we'll club you with systemic racism. We'll shut you up. We'll get you into this group think no matter what you do, like it or not. My next guest, Professor Richard Ebeling, Senior Fellow of AIER and the BB&T, Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise at the Citadel. Professor, welcome back.
Good morning. See you again.
Good to see you here again and talk to you again. Systemic racism, it's like a religion. It's like a theology. I mean, honestly, if you try to talk about, well, you don't believe in the 1619 Project, you knuckle-dragger. Yeah, I don't believe that America was created 124 years before Thomas Jefferson was even born. Call me crazy. Your thoughts?
Well, a basic method of shutting down debate. It's a method of an attack. You want to, that America currently raises. It is oppression, Haitian, denial, freedom. Because it's 1619, the first slaves were to what the United States. But the difference here is that what ended that thesis of was the fact that ideas that evolved that by the 1770s and then in the beginning of the 19th century, the ideas of liberty.
All right. So hold on, Professor. We're going to hold right there. Hold on. We're having a little difficulty with the connection there. We're gonna hook him up on the phone line. Little problem with technology today. It happens from time to time. Apologize for any inconvenience in your listening pleasure and your viewing pleasure. But it basically comes down to, have you stopped beating your wife? Because what happens here, the discussion gets to be, well, if you don't buy what we're telling you, then you're a racist. You're in denial. You have white privilege. And all the other labels that go with it as well. They try to delegitimize anything you have to say, because if you don't have something proper to say, then you're not smart enough to be in the conversation. That's the approach they take. We don't want to hear anything you have to say because you're not smart enough to be here. And that's the orthodoxy of the left these days. And it's not going to work, I'll tell you that, in the general election. The idea of telling people they're deplorable or they're racist or they're misogynist or they're just part of a systemic racist system. You just don't get it. These people go to work every day, right? These people go to work every day to support their families, to work as part of America. And so we end up with this tribalism that is just a disaster. Professor, are you back?
Absolutely. Good to be here.
Well, and good to hear. We weren't hearing you very well. So tell me about the systemic racism, the theology of systemic racism, because that's really what it is.
Yes, you're right. It is a theology. It's the presumption that America was created in the image of slavery, on the basis of slavery. That supposedly since its beginning with the first colonists, it has been dependent upon slavery, discrimination, and oppression. Now, the usefulness of this ideologically from that point of view is that it shuts down discussion. You don't have to discuss ideas. You don't have to discuss people and what they stood for and what they really helped develop. You just basically throw this phrase at them. Now, notice the premise. It is to abolish the principle upon which the country was really founded. And what is that principle? Individual freedom, the recognition of the autonomy of the human being, a respect for them as a distinct person, because now everything is tribalistic. You're either white or you're black. If you're white, you've been an oppressor of all people everywhere in the world. And it is therefore, you know, salvation or damnation, saint and sinner. And the way of doing this is just to classify it exactly as you said. It's a theology of race in which we're reduced to tribal categories and each of us gets lost as an individual. It serves the agenda of undermining and destroying the foundation upon which the country is founded.
Steve, I think people are fatigued by it, though, Professor. I'm not going to kid you. I think people are fatigued by the whole conversation. I think people are playing of the race card. I think people are, frankly, sick of it. Go on.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that this is another element of this. And this is the intimidation that leads to self-censorship. People have become so beaten down in the public arena, in the workplace, in the social areas, that they're afraid to even challenge us, to say, look here, my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, they came here long after the Civil War. They faced their own difficulties of making a life for themselves in a new country as refugees, as immigrants. They're afraid to say that because you see, oh, you're apologizing. You're hiding your white privilege. And I believe that there are a lot of people out there who are just disgusted and are unwilling to accept it, but they're afraid to speak out because of these social pressures of labeling you with an R on your forehead. That's the new scarlet letter, the R on your forehead that condemns you as a racist. And what could be more damnable than that?
Well, I agree with that. But let's be honest, Professor Richard Ebling here from the Citadel, I don't think people take it as seriously as they once did. And I'm going to tell you something. Playing the race card has become so predictable and so tiresome that most people don't even take it seriously anymore. I think the majority of people, when they hear somebody else called a racist, they just look over and go, yeah, okay. Unless they see some egregious act that said, okay, that's off the...
Yeah.
That's off the charts, or that's over the line, or whatever. Unless they see egregious behavior, they say, yeah, that's racist. But it has to be clear, and there has to be clear evidence thereof. Otherwise, it's just throwing mud, I think. That's the way I take it, anyway.
No, you are right. Most people just are afraid to speak out. But in America today, are there some racists? Of course there are. There are crazy people and nuts and idiots everywhere. But if you compare America's history 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 25 years ago, we are, for all intents and purposes, the most unracist society in America. Just look at the society that we live in and the opportunities for everyone everywhere. But it has worked as an intimidation, Steve. The Cato Institute a few weeks ago released a public survey that a large majority of Americans across the political spectrum are afraid to honestly speak their minds about these issues. Because they're afraid of its consequences. You lose your job. You're condemned. You're threatened to be socially
bullied.
Ostracized. So people may be very tired of this, Steve.
Well, but then you look at Michigan.
But the environment makes it difficult for people to speak the truth about how they feel about it.
Yeah, and then in Michigan, the governor declaring racism a public health crisis here a couple of days ago. You know, it's more pandering to me. When you see pandering of that nature, it makes me think, what's going on with the black community that they have to pander to this extent to beg for their votes? Because that's really what's going on, that they have to pander to this extent to declare it a public health emergency. Makes me wonder if those internal polls that show President Trump getting as high as 36% approval ratings in the African-American community, if Democrats are seeing the same thing. I wonder if there's another political card in here that we're not seeing. I'll give you the last word.
Well, I think that the left is playing this for all it's worth, to try to get as much support as they can. But the thing is that look how demeaning it is, even for members of the African-American community. They're presuming that they can impose a mindset on this group of the American population and say, this is how you think, this is how what you must believe, this is what you have to support. I mean, just think of Biden's statements, you know, if you don't support me, you're not really black if you're an African-American. The arrogant hubris of this, the contempt,
yeah.
the of mind control.
Yeah, it's sad. Professor Richard Ebling from the Citadel, we have to leave it right there. Thank you, sir, as always, for being here. Quick break here in the No Panic Zone. It is the Steve Gruber Show.
At the Michigan Chamber, we want you to know that we are working for you.
We know the importance of staying healthy, keeping your family safe, and adhering to the governor's executive order.
But we also know the importance of keeping the economy going.
If your business is open, we want to support you any way we can.
We're going to continue working with the governor and working with the legislature to find solutions to your problems.
When it's time to get back to work.
When it's time to get back to work.
Together, we're going to bring this economy back.
The pandemic has made it clear. If you're overweight, have diabetes or high blood pressure, you are at risk. My Pure Health Solutions wants you to get healthy. If you've been thinking about losing weight, there's no better time than right now. With My Pure Health Solutions, you can do it all from the privacy of your own home. My Pure Health Solutions will build a custom plan just for you to lose weight, lower your blood pressure, and even boost your immune system. If you're ready to take control of your weight and your health, today is the day. Go to GruberHealth.com, GruberHealth.com.
Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. It's a personalized, flexible, step-by-step approach toward financial balance. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah. That's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the